Airline passenger advocates get a seat at the table in Washington. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest today is Kate Hanai, who is the founder and now executive director of the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights. We'd like to check in every so often with Kate because, Kate, there's always something going on in your world. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing terrific. A little tired, just got home from D.C., but I am great.
Well, you know, now you understand the downside of the lifestyle that involves going to Washington to testify every once in a while.
Boy, I'm telling you, or even being a congressman or woman, this flying back and forth is very challenging.
Well, and there's no small bit of irony either in the fact that since you took on this cause, you're spending way more time on airplanes than you did before.
No kidding, Paul. I mean, that really is the irony.
All right, let's look back, because the last time we talked to you, it was a few days before you were going to have your strand-in in September. How did that go? Tell us what happened.
Oh, the strand-in was incredible.
First, tell us about Mach 1.
Mach 1.
Spelled M-O-C-K.
Yes, M-O-C-K-1, flyersrights.org, our jet, 28 feet long, 12 feet wide, 10 feet tall. We had 50 seats inside the jet and 15 seats outside for people to sit and watch a multimedia screen of different interviews of people that were stranded that have never been shown on television before, which we had people make. We had overflowing porta-potties inside the Mach 1 jet.
Now, tell me how you did that, because it seems to me the health board would have something to say about a stunt like that.
Oh, if it were real, they would. But this was all, you know, joke shop paraphernalia.
Okay.
We had inside the porta potties, but you can find anything on eBay, and we found the smell of porta potty on eBay, or the smell of real potty. And
what in an aerosol can?
No, it was drops.
Oh.
And we actually had a humidifier that before the strand-in started, we covered one end of the tent. And we actually put drops in the humidifier so that we could really stink up the air. And then the Park Service wouldn't let us have both ends of the tent closed. We had to actually have both ends open for the strand in itself. So we opened up both ends of the tent, which ended up working out very well because the press, we had about 35 different television cameras there. Mm-hmm. And people that were there that were that are associated with U.S. PIRG and different consumer unions said it was the biggest PR event they'd ever seen.
Wow.
And I was shocked. I mean, we really just had more media than you could count. And we had four congressmen there that came to speak. And Congressman Mike Thompson, I guess because of the pressure that we placed on them, because of the strand-in and the way that we sent out the invitation saying it was urgent and that if you did not respond to our invitation as a congressman and did not at least send a staffer or a family member, that you'd be considered against passengers' rights. So, you know, we applied a lot of pressure, and we got deplanement language on the House side as a result of our strand-in.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Thompson was able to make an announcement that day that was a complete stunner for us and really made the day. It was remarkable. I was on such a high.
Well, that's fantastic. Or maybe it was just from whiffing the drops in the humidifier.
Definitely could have been part of it. Congressman John Hall, who had been in the band Orleans, came, and he actually came in the tent and sat down, and one of our stranding victims from December 29th came in and was dressed up as a flight attendant, and when he wanted to leave, she said, "No, sir, you can't leave. You have to stay in your seat." And he said, "But I'm a congressman, and I have to go to the bathroom." And she said, "No, sir, you have to stay in your seat in the upright and locked position." And she wouldn't let him off.
Oh, that's great. Well,
but
I mean, if it's going to be realistic, that's, you know, that's what happens.
That's it. And you know, it was, you know, I mean, it didn't look like totally like a real jet. You could tell that it wasn't, you know, we didn't have airline seats inside. I wish we could have. But what we did also have is that my older son's a recording engineering minor at San Diego State, so he had been stuck with us in Austin on the plane, and he knew what it sounded like. So he layered all the sounds together of the screaming babies and people asking what's going on, why are we still here, the pilots, the flight attendants, everything that you could ever imagine not wanting to hear, ambulances, police cars, hazmat, all of the noises together in a 12-minute loop. And we blasted that with a 500-watt stereo system into the one end of the jet. So it was pretty remarkable.
Well, now, who actually sat in those seats other than media people? How many members of Congress did you actually get to come out, or did anybody from any of the bureaus come out, the DOT or any of that?
We got a call from the FAA saying they were sending some people down, and we know that they did, but we don't know who they were. And I think it was because there were so many TV cameras and, you know, the New York Times and Wall Street Journal and USA Today and Washington Post. Everyone was there. And all of the major networks and a lot of the minor networks were there. And multiples of some of the networks were there, local plus national. And I think that they just wanted to be as anonymous as possible as they came into the jet. But we filled the jet with people. Mm-hmm. And we had stranding victims. We had about 22 stranding victims that we had come in. We had a legacy carrier pilot come in and speak. We had a GE jet engine engineer named Wayne Burnett, who had gotten a blood clot after 3.5 hours and a pulmonary embolism on, actually on American Airlines, on a different event than ours, but. You know, there are a lot of angry people that want to see some change, and even people in the industry. And they're saying, you know, this is really ridiculous, and something needs to be done. And so we had some really powerful speakers, and we had Congressman Hall, Congressman Klein, Congressman Doggett, and Congressman Mike Thompson. Mm-hmm. And Congressman Hall was the most participatory in terms of coming into the jet. None of the others actually came into the jet, but they did come and speak. And partly that was because of the timing of when they spoke and when we actually got everyone in the jet, and then the media all moved around to the front of the jet.
Right.
It was really remarkable, Paul. You would have just loved it.
Well, now, FAA reauthorization is still not a done deal. Is there still hope? Do you still sense that there's movement, or has some of the inertia gone out of this to get language in that particular set of legislation for passengers' Bill of Rights?
Well, I have a whole lot of confidence that we're going to get even stronger language on the Senate side than we have on the House side, because I've been informed by a number of offices that we will. And there are a lot more things that we got included on the House side than I expected. An advisory committee and specificity around the type of consumer advocate executives that had to be included in that committee.
Mm-hmm.
So Congressman DeFazio on the House side introduced a really fantastic piece of the manager's amendment for this passenger rights legislation on the House side, which we are looking to have adopted on the Senate side as well, and I'm fairly certain that we can. And it would be one of the requests that we had in the beginning, which was that there be a committee made up of people, a task force or advisory committee that is made up not only of executives of airlines and executives of airports, but true consumer advocates like myself and like Paul Hudson, that are executive directors of nonprofits. So a high degree of specificity around what type of leaders would be on that task force to oversee what goes on with the airlines regarding customer service and also safety. One thing I want to make very clear is that the issues that we are pushing for with regard to deplanement and essential needs on the tarmac, those two particular things are not really about inconvenience or customer service. Those are things that we believe have crossed over into safety issues and that can really be harmful to people. So we believe there needs to be much more oversight. And you know, I've even offered personally to have our 877 Flyer 6 hotline be the hotline for the government. I've offered to have that be the hotline at no charge to them. And they haven't, not that the House or the Senate legislation would be able to include that, but I've asked the DOT that they consider that.
Right.
And you know, that's a non-starter with them. They just can't even see their way through actually having people call and file their complaints. But You know, that's why we believe there needs to be someone watching.
Right.
Because no one really has a place to go to say, this is what happened, and I need your help.
I'm talking today with Kate Hanai, who is the founder and executive director of the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights. Kate, when we get back from our break in a moment, I want to talk to you about a couple of other issues of the day, if you have a moment.
Yep.
We will be right back. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack. My guest today is Kate Hanai, who is the founder and executive director of the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights. Kate, we've talked about the strand, and let's talk about a couple other things that have been in the news in the past few weeks since we talked. One of them is the whole issue of President Bush laying down the law to the DOT, and he said, look, by summer of 2008, you will find a way to reduce this mess at JFK Airport in the New York metropolitan major airports. That has led to discussions where the airlines were called in for a summit. Mary Peters has said, look, if you guys don't fix this, we will, and you won't like it. Is this in any way a peripheral issue for you or right down your alley, or where do you guys come into this?
Well, quite frankly, Paul, when I first heard about it, I was a little dumbstruck. And the reason for that sensation was that it had nothing to do with what we were pushing for. And I don't believe that, you know, that may well be a very important thing for them to look at. And there may need to be some resolutions made by the DOT and by the government, and that's something that they need to consider and they need to handle. We believe that there is a much broader scope problem that needs to be addressed with regards to consumers having rights and not being held hostage on aircraft. And so their solutions may provide some relief to consumers. I don't know, but it is not going to provide a total solution to people being trapped in planes and not being provided with essential needs when they're on the ground, on the tarmac, trapped in a plane. It's certainly not going to provide truth in reporting in terms of chronically delayed or canceled flights, or that diversions and cancellations are not counted for time on the tarmac or reported by the government. So there are a number of issues that congestion pricing and capping just simply don't deal with. And there are a number of airlines that really won't be that impacted. And there are a number of airlines that will be profoundly impacted by their decision to cap or congestion price. So those are issues that I don't think that the coalition is going to take a position on.
Okay, well, and this is clearly a case of grease on a squeaky wheel. I mean, this is an isolated hotspot as an issue that doesn't really have an effect on the entire system in the manner that your issue does. And let's talk about that for a little bit, because I understand you've made a little bit of headway in terms of getting to talk to the DOT about your issue.
Yes, we did. And I actually had an appointment with DJ Gibbons and Norman Strickman, who DJ Gibbons is the chief counsel for the Department of Transportation. Norman Strickman is a consumer advocate for the DOT. He's been there about 30 years. Dayton Lehman and Mike Reynolds from the FAA, and several other attorneys that are with the DOT that were around the table. Mm-hmm. And I was very pointed in my questions. And one of the questions that I asked was, has the secretary changed her mind about her ability to act on the issues that we have presented outside of Congress legislating it. And the answer that I got directly was, Mary Peters has the ability to mandate a rule on anything in the House or Senate bills that is currently before Congress.
So, like 90% of laws that Congress passes, it's somewhat a publicity event more than an actual need, because a lot of the things that, Congress enacts are things that people in bureaus or departments already have the power to affect without that law. It's just a matter of focusing priority.
But do they have the will?
Right.
They have to have the will to do it. And if they don't have the will to do it, nothing will get done. And outside of congressional pressure on them, and outside of our pressuring them, I'm not sure that they will act. So, you know, they're saying that they have the ability to, and there may be something coming down the line with them. They cannot tell us if they're about to recommend a proposed rulemaking, because they have to go out to the public and do that announcement and
right.
then take feedback for 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
But I did get the impression, and we got the impression, there were three of us that went to meet with them, that there may be something coming down over the holidays with regard to the DOT and our issues. Now, we will not stop pushing for the Congress to legislate this. The reason for that is that we need to maintain the pressure on the DOT to complete the rulemaking in the event that they decide they are going to do one. It generally takes a year.
Well, and we're talking about a lame duck year.
Yes, we are. So we need the new administration to take up the cause. And that's a very big deal. So, and the other question that we asked them that was very important to us and that we wanted to make sure that they understood is that the Coalition for Airline Passenger Bill of Rights, although we are a new organization and we are rapidly getting educated on what many of the issues are and some of the unintended consequences of anything we might ask for,
mm-hmm.
We believe that as a 21,000-person organization, we deserve a seat at the table if there's any task force that is designed to protect consumers. Whether or not we fully understand what that task force represents, we need to be briefed. And we also believe that it is their duty to brief the media, mm-hmm. who has not been allowed in the room for these task force meetings. No one from the media has. So it seems a little inconsiderate to the public to have these meetings, which they say will have a profound impact on the public, but then not include them in any of the decision making.
Well, now you realize what you're asking for here, you know, that'll be careful what you ask for. You're asking to be included on issues that may be tangents to what you're really all about.
Absolutely. We are. And the reason for that is that we can always decline and say that it's not our issue.
Mm-hmm.
But we as a consumer advocacy organization should be included. And, you know, one of the issues that came up, Paul, when I first took on this cause, many of the media people that I've talked to have said, good luck surviving with the fighting the airlines as a consumer advocacy organization. Good luck taking on this cause. And one of the reasons for it being so difficult is that we have to be included. And the guys that get included on these task forces are not consumer advocates. They mask themselves as consumer advocates, but they're industry people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're bought and paid for by the industry. And it's very clear when you go into their websites who it is they represent.
Right.
But when the government comes out and tells you that they are a consumer advocate, there's something clearly wrong with that, and it's not in favor of the public.
Well, Kate, we know that that your motives are pure because we know you're not getting rich at this.
No.
Which I guess
the sinking black hole that is my finances.
Which I guess brings us around subtly to the point that if people do want to contribute to the Coalition for an Airline Passenger Bill of Rights, they can go to flyersrights.org and find out all about it.
That's correct, and if they have any issue with the airlines, baggage-related issues, stranding issues, flight delays, anything they want to discuss at all, they can call our hotline at 1-877-FLYERS-6, and we will either answer the phone immediately, or if we're flooded with calls, we will call them fairly shortly back.
Well, I understand your husband is going to force you into a few days of R&R, so we are grateful for that, and we'll hope to talk to you again about these issues in the future.
Yes, Paul, thank you so much, and I'm grateful too.
My guest has been Kate Hannai, who is the founder and executive director of the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights. You can find more details at flyersrights.org. That's flyers with a Y. And you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.